two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web. And we are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project on this great Friday evening. I'm Ethan Millard. I've got Andy Farnsworth here with me. Alex Keery's away for the evening. And Andy, you've done a great job this week.
Well, thanks. It's been fun. But don't worry. For people who love Alex, he will be back Monday.
It's been fun. And you've been great. You've been a great host. I've been looking forward to it every night. And I just want to thank you. And I think we ought to plan to go out with a bang tonight. How about that?
Let's go out with a bang because I like to have fun and I like to laugh. And I'm hoping to do both tonight.
Oh, yeah. We've got some great stuff coming up. But first, let's talk a little bit about some of the ways that what's been happening with all the coronavirus stuff has been changing our families. Now,
it's been changing everything.
You're right. The New York Times and USA Today both did recent surveys on how our family dynamic is changing. And they're saying that the percent of couples who say they share household chores is now 41%. That's up 15% since before the coronavirus. 56% say they share child-related responsibilities. That's up 11%. Basically, people kind of sharing the same space. It's become a little more egalitarian. That makes sense. But here's my question. Okay. Andy, do you think that's permanent? Do you think men are really now getting on the home bandwagon?
That's the real question of all of this. You know, when we look at how work is changing and, you know, even we get emails here at KSL about some things that we've started to do since the pandemic began are going to probably remain. Some things, not all. And the question then is, you know, is your job the one that you're going to still do either part-time or full-time from home, even after this lifts? You know, it's forced us to try out new things. It's forced us to see what works, what doesn't. this might sound terrible. I think that for people who are going to continue to work from home, I do believe the chore splitting is going to stay the same.
Why do you think that sounds terrible?
Well, because it sounds totally sexist. Reasonable. It sounds sexist.
No, it's not sexist.
It's not, but it sounds that way.
I think it's a perfectly fine explanation. We all know that women do more work, even in couples where the
where
income is split.
Where they both work.
Even if both have full-time jobs, women still do more of the childcare and more of the housework. Richard J. Petz, who's a professor of sociology at Ball State University and who is a co-author of one of these studies, he says, quote, getting men more involved in domestic work continues to be one of, if not the biggest barriers to increasing gender equality. And I agree with you, Andy, that in work from home, in families where work from home continues, I think, yes, we should expect in those families to see more fairness. But
it's so funny how the work and the home go together, because for some of the people who've worked from home, the big secret is that they got the work done faster at home, or it either meant that they were more focused at home, or that they just worked slower at work. And you know, their work took 8 hours, but maybe they were only doing 6 hours worth of work.
Yeah.
But right. When you're already at home and you're done with your work in 6 hours.
Yeah.
And so,
for sure.
But I wonder if that's the same thing with the chore doing also, is that it showed it maybe to some guys, for the first time, they got to watch with their own eyes. Like, how could I really sit here and not help?
Yeah.
When they're doing that and I'm done with my work and I'm just going to sit here. And here's the other question. Is it the same jobs? Are they measuring the same jobs that were done before? Or does this include, like, dads who were home and they decided to build that deck that they've always meant to build? Is that counted as?
No, this is regular chores.
Just regular chores,
yeah.
Okay.
And but here's the thing. I think that for families that no longer work from home in this way, that go back to normal, I think that the chore split will also go back to its previous norm. I don't think this is a permanent thing. And I know a lot of people out there saying, oh, yeah, this is a new, big, awesome change. But I don't think it is. Because
you're a man and you know how men think.
No, it's because men don't trigger large-scale change. Women do.
Well, right.
Women
and
do
they want to live with that woman and be happy.
Women, and it's
which is why they helped in the first
place. Change things. And, you know, men have kind of this inflated sense, I think, of history and of place in the world. But change comes when women are empowered to play a meaningful role. That's what brings change. And so I think that what we'll see over time is generations of women who can set aside some of the old ways and who can play a role, not just in the family, but in society, where they can step up and know that they can insist on change and that they can get change. That's what I really believe. I really think that this split in terms of household and family responsibilities is something that improves with every generation, but is not going to be improved generally with the coronavirus.
But I bet this will speed it up a little bit. I do. I think
so.
Once you've had a chance to do it, how then are you going to go back to, oh, well, you know, it's work and all. You know, I just don't think once you break the seal off something, it's hard to put it back in the jar.
It's going to be easy.
I think it'll be. I think that there, and I also think it's that some of the men will step up because, like you said, it's a generational thing. And my generation already does a little bit more willingly than my dad's generation. Although my dad was good sometimes, but my grandma was just like her whole focus was taking care of grandpa. Like, you know, if he was sleeping, she made sure everybody else in the house was quiet. It was, you know, it was very unbalanced as far as what today's dynamic is.
Yeah,
and it's slowly increased.
I don't think,
but I also think you're going to get women who won't accept the other way with each generation.
That's the key. That's the key right there is what will women accept? Because if women accept that their men will slide back to the way they used to do things after the coronavirus, then guess what? There's going to be no change. And you know what? Men are going to want to slide back.
Well, of course, but nobody likes to do it. I've had this conversation with my children many, many times before and during the pandemic.
But
nobody likes to do chores.
No one likes it. But
I don't want to do it. Why? I don't like it. Nobody likes it.
But that bad behavior is only going to exist for as long as it's empowered. And you know,
now that's true. But that's true of anything.
Sure.
And so it will be, will the women accept the men not doing, you know, it's hard to generalize this for me because so much depends on how's your relationship with your significant other. Like, Ethan, you may have a relationship with your wife that is different in how you see things and how you guys handle things than my relationship with my wife or Alex's relationship with his wife or, you know, anybody's with their partner that they're with. You know, my grandma, we could have said, Grandma, why are you doing all these things for Grandpa? And she would have just been like, what are you talking about? And then just told us to, and then she would have made us a sandwich and cleaned up for us. But, you know, I went to mow her lawn one time and I was like, Grandma, I got to go home and do the dishes because that was my chore. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I wish I could go do them for you. I was like, oh, I wish you could too.
You're welcome anytime. You're welcome anytime.
But it's just, It's so much of this is how's the relationship? You know, if the wife is okay with, you know, if once the husband's going back to work or, you know, vice versa.
Yeah.
I think it's one where both of them work and the dads have really gotten to see it. And I know not just my wife, but many moms working and at home felt completely overwhelmed with the online schooling, having to handle that on top of all the household chores that were always going to be needed to be done. And then when the kids are home, they need to do it even more because they're there longer. There's more dishes. You have lunch dishes that you don't normally have. You know, they're in the house making messes that they would normally be gone from. So there was more work. You know, did the surveys take that into account, that there was actually more work to be done?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they controlled for that. But I just think so much of it is, what's the relationship like? I can see this on a relationship that's not on solid ground.
Well, but
getting worse because of this.
But see, there again, the dynamics of those relationships are going to be different with every generation, because things are improving for women in every generation.
Well, and I hope that my daughter sees me helping out. I'm on the chore chart, so we didn't put my wife in the chore rotation, but I'm in the chore rotation in part because I said, look, Maybe it's just something in my own head. But my thought was like if I'm home, I can't just sit on the couch and tell the kids to clean it up. Although they I can and I do, but I feel guilty about it sometimes. And so I put myself in the chore chart rotation. So I do the same chores as all the other kids. The big difference is because I help make the chart, I could request certain days for certain jobs.
Well, here's where I think what you're doing is smart. What you're doing is smart because I feel like for you, the question is not so much split of duties. For you, you're also trying to set an example for your kids, right?
Yes.
And I feel like that's got to be a big part of this. So I think that the, things in the home, things in marriages will change for the better as generations of women are more empowered to insist on that change, right?
Yes.
But also, at this point, though, men are in a weird spot when I say men are in a weird spot, what I mean is, they're being real jerks about this, because basically we're a generation of two incomes in many families. But we're also a generation of men who will spend their wives' money but not help them with the chores. And that is, I think a moral failing, and one that we should really, really think about. And I don't like chores either. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But marriage is one of those things that you have the opportunity to become a better person when you focus on the right things.
That's true.
But it also has the opportunity to kind of not make you a better person if you're not trying to become a better person. I think that's one place where, men can really step up and take responsibility and say, hey, I'm not going to spend my wife's money and also make her do my dishes.
I think that's a great way to look at it.
You know what I mean?
But and a lot of this, really, it's the willingness, right? Because depending on your partner, maybe they like, very generalized, maybe they like to do it. But that's just because, we've been married 20 years, and so there's some things that my wife does better than me. She's a better cook, so I will cook sometimes. But here's the thing. If you want to serve two things, one tastes good and one only tastes sort of good, wouldn't you rather have the one that tastes good?
All I'm saying is, Andy, my only point is, if she's better than you at cooking, you better be better than her at cleaning toilets.
I am, and you know what? Dishes. I've always said, since we've been married, if you'll cook and make the food, I will wash the dishes.
See?
Bliss.
Because I don't mind the dishes.
Right there.
Right there is what you got as marital bliss.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a break here and get a check of traffic, and when we get back, we've talked about working from home, but when you do come back to the office, the Centers for Disease Control says there could be some big changes waiting for you. And how are we supposed to improve the pandemic when blood samples are being stolen? You're not going to believe who's stealing them.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.